Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to a very special edition of the Dockers Debate. Not normally my show, but today I've kind of glory hunted my way onto this preview edition ahead of tomorrow's playoff final for the Dockers for Erith Town. Joining me to talk all things Erith Town is the man himself, the aficionado of the Dockers Debate podcast, numero uno. It's Mr. Michael Avery. Michael, how you doing, mate?
Good, mate. It feels like when you let your mate drive your car after you've had a couple of pints. I'll be careful, Nick. Careful of the clutch. Careful of the steering.
Don't break it. Don't say anything stupid.
Yeah. I wanted to watch the whip restrictions. Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
I wanted to do something special ahead of tomorrow's playoff final for Erith versus Corinthians. Premier Division final. The prize at stake, Michael, is Isthmian League football. It's a big event at Thamesmead tomorrow, mate. What's the sense around the club at the moment? Are there nerves? What's your take on the ahead of this big game? What's the feeling around the club, do you think?
Admin wise, we're very busy. The committee and people who work behind the scenes are very, very busy, to say the least. Working really hard. But the players are fine. The players are good. The players are calm. The players are looking forward to it. And everyone's looking forward to it. I mean, I said half tongue in cheek, didn't I, a couple of weeks to you off recording, Nick, that we've the podcast has inadvertently become a bit like Michael Calvin's family in the sense that, you know, Michael Calvin was given all access behind scenes a couple of years ago at Millwall to obviously see, like, follow the club and all that. And he ended up being in one of Millwall's most historic seasons and one of their most well-known seasons.
Yeah.
But I think to be given the opportunity to capture this as much as we have been, it's been an absolute roller coaster. And you know, obviously, I'm a Millwall fan first and foremost, but, you know, like, Erith Town's gone from being a team I follow now when we used to do the grassroots stuff to a team that I actually really do, you know, you could argue I support nearly just as much as Millwall, if you will, you don't realise, you see the cliches and you hear the statements and you see these Twitter pages, you don't realise until you see it behind the scenes just how much work goes into running non-league football. And
absolutely,
I could not be more delighted for the committee, the owners, as we've mentioned a few times, Adam, the players, just all of them, I'm delighted for them.
I mean, it's been a fascinating thing to follow. I've only been to one game this season, which was about a month or so ago now, listeners. I came over to what I perceive as the new ground, because I did meet you once before at the previous Leisure Centre, Erith Leisure Centre, the setup there. And it felt, as a first timer at Thamesmead, the Thamesmead ground, felt a much more intimate, much more close-knit vibe, because as much as the Leisure Centre was obviously a step in the right direction, it was a big, vast old space, a lot of seats, but you were a long way from the action. When I came over the other day, you really were on top of it. It's a nice little venue, Michael, and I think that's really added spice to what's been a kind of a gathering sense of building towards something big at the club all season.
Yeah, it really has, and I mean, ultimately, you looked at the stats from last season. I think it worked out. It was quite a good round number. I think overall in the league or in the competitions, the club had something like 2,525 over the course of the season, which isn't bad for that level. No. But, you know, even before tomorrow's game, which in theory, I don't actually know how it works stat-wise, because I think tomorrow's technically like a neutral game, whereas the final is just being hosted obviously.
It exists outside the season, I suppose, yeah.
But I mean, they've had over 4,000 people come in now, and you know, what the club do is, they, you don't realise as well, when you hear like, and you see that Erith Tan is a community club, I can only speak for Erith Tan in this, about being a community club, you do not realise until you actually see behind the scenes with no microphones, no cameras, no things for PR, but just how much they care about the community and how much they don't want the people in for the money and the glamour and all that. They want people in so that they can feel part of the community and the people who come in feel part of the family. And like you said, Nick, you know, you listen to some shows and you've got your characters, you've got your, we've joked about it, you've got your diets and you've got your Zoolander and you've got you know, like Jim Kenny who comes on, you know, it's a real family feel. And a good example is, you know, one of my players who plays for my side, funny enough, you know, these players are under no obligation, youth players, to come along to games. You know, it's encouraged to come along if you want to. I think he went to like one or two games at the start of the season just to sort of go, well, I've come along to see what it's like. He's well in the double figures now. He's got signed boots. He's got signed gloves. He walks out. He was a mascot at the cup final, you know. It's a real family feel. And off the pitch, they're working so hard. And like you say, the club, we've made it a place that if you are a groundhopper or if you are a neutral, you think, do you know what? I wouldn't mind going down there again. Because it's good fun. You have a laugh. You can have a pint and watch the game. Your kids can be a part of it. You know, you can meet the players. You can do all this kind of stuff. So I think, to be fair to them, they've all worked very, very hard behind the scenes.
100%. I mean, I really got that feeling when I came over. As I say, it's the only game I've been to. I would have come along tomorrow, listeners, but I've got something lined up personally. So I'm going to be following it via Twitter and obviously by Michael's post-match podcast when that comes through to me. I've been really happy to host the podcast, Michael. I'm hoping, and I get a sense it has done a job of advertising Erith Town. But of course, as you've just said, there's a bigger picture than just Erith Town. There's a whole level of non-league football at the Scaffold, the South East Counties Football League, Kent basically, and surrounds. But there's other leagues on the same level. There's one at Essex over on my side of the water here. They do so much good work for the, it's the base of the game, and yet it goes so unsung in the bigger corporate world that is modern football. And I think it's been my pleasure to be able to shine a bit of a light on what goes on there, because it's not just here, if it's other clubs too, isn't it? There's a lot of work that goes on at this level across the league.
And you, like, you know, when you go to some of these clubs and you go to like the Punjab Uniteds and Burgess Hill pre-season, and you know, you see, like, we've been quite lucky podcast-wise, you know, that we've been able to, like, you know, be in some of these committee meetings and sort of the committee rooms before games and all that kind of stuff. And you think they work so hard. Like, I can't say enough. I'm not saying everyone there just chuck away your season tickets and start going non-league football. I'm not, because obviously there's some grounds where you haven't got that buzz that Erith might have. Or, you know, there might be some levels of the game where you think, do you know what? You know, especially with young kids, they like seeing the glamour side of it, and just in general, the pace is better the higher up you go. But if you want just good, full-blooded, work-hard football, you will find it in non-league football, you know. And you see, again, I can only really speak for Erith in the sense that I've been following them all season, but some of these players are absolutely out on their feet, running through a brick wall, and you think, let's not beat around the bush. It's not their full-time job. And some weeks they might think, I'm knackered, I can't be bothered going training. So if it was like a Sunday league or a little kickabout with your mates, you'd go, oh, I ain't coming this week, I'm knackered. But these boys do not stop. They do not stop going. They do not stop giving 100%. They play good football. And you know, like they're reaping the rewards. And like I said, the journey we've been on as a podcast, it started as a kind of, look, let's just follow the club, see how they get on and just shine a bit of a light. You know, we've been part of cup finals, two cup finals now, in two massive prestigious trophies at this level, you know, and the club have allowed us to do it. You know, you've got the playoff final tomorrow, and the club have loved having the podcast a part of it. You know, I get all, it's quite funny as well, like, dear listener, if you're listening now, in the sense that a lot of the players listen to it as well. So what will happen is you'll say, and but what I do love about doing the podcast is they don't mind the criticism. So, you know, if you go up the ladders and up the pyramids and stuff, as you know, Nick, you know, there are these stories where if you say something negative about a club, someone from a club could ring you and go, don't put that out, or don't say that, or cut that out.
It gets very sensitive.
Yeah.
If that's the right word. Yeah.
You know, at this level, we put something out, and there's been a few times where I might have said, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say that about you. They're like, no, it's fine. I needed it said. You know, like, and some of the families, they'll come along and like, you know, obviously we make the jokes about the diets, you know, James Dyer's family, you know, we say something about Dyer in the game. And then you'll say to them in the next game, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say that about him. They're like, no, it's fine. It's all right. You know, like, there's a real humbleness and they've loved being a part of it. I mean, you know, Tom Ash is an example. He tells me, like, again, it just shows you, he's of a university age. He listens to the podcast when he drives up and down from university. So it really just goes to show you who listens to it, who's a part of it, what they think of it, and they've loved it. They've loved it.
The listener numbers for the show have gathered pace. I mean, obviously, it's been, we're hoping it's going to be a very successful season for ERIF, but football is a game where, you know, your opponents can have their day. We'll see how it goes tomorrow afternoon for the playoff final. But it's been a season of success, as you've said. You've had two silverware, two cups, and a fourth place position in the division in the South East Counties League. So, you know, the numbers for the podcast have been interesting. It's gathered pace across the season. And we probably get about 300 to 400 people listening to the show, Michael, which I think is, I don't know about you, every time I put a show out, I always get slightly amazed anyone listens to it and actually follow it. And I think this is a real, it's a tribute to what you've done, because you've done a great job of illustrating a club that's doing good work. It's at the level it's at. But you've done a good job of creating, you get the characters involved at this level. And I think it's really captured it. And I think you get a lot of people listening to it. Obviously, bums on seats, so to speak, in the ground are, 100, 200 or whatever might be the average. But you're going to get probably double that of people taking an interest in ERIF Town more widely. I think that's a really interesting thing, and it's an advertisement for the club and an advertisement for this level of football. I think you've done a fantastic job on it, mate.
It's the comedy. It's what people listen comedy. To. It's not the football. Yeah. It's the presenting. No, I'm joking.
And it's the characters around the ground. You know, I mean, there are. It's non-league football listeners, and you get all sorts of people there, and it's just fascinating to get it at the Den, for crying out loud. But you know, it's clearer and more easy to see at this level. But I think you've done a fantastic job of capturing that.
No, thank you. And you know what, like, when you say about the characters, some of them, and you know what, I always think back to, I think it was the Sutton game around Christmas time. You know, I think like ERIF was about 5-6-1 up. They were quite a few up. But, you know, sometimes you hear it on the pod sometimes. I'll go chat to away fans and just have a laugh, you know. And some of them...
Which you couldn't do at the Den, could you?
There you go. That's my point, you know. And like, you know, when we played Dill the few times and we've gone down to Dill, I've sat in the home end with the Dill fans with a microphone and I've just kept putting it in their face. But to be fair to them, they've gotten bored and they've had a bit of a laugh at it.
Yeah,
you know, I always remember, and one, if you've not listened back to it so far, listener, if you want to re-download it, but a Peacehaven and Telscombe game was a game that everyone still talks about now because of the podcast. You know, like the way that they were getting worked up, and like we was having some banter backwards and forwards, and then they scored and put the microphone in the face, and they were giving it to Adam, and Adam was giving it back, and then they're giving it to me, and I'm giving it to them. But then at the end of it, turn the microphone off, everyone's shaking hands, and it's a bit of fun, and that's. And that's ultimately what non-league football is. You know, you do get your diehard, you do get your tribalism to a degree.
Your moments, yeah.
You just get people who just want to watch the game ultimately. And for some, you know, I've spoke to a few fans down there, and some of them are like, I just can't be bothered with a pro game anymore. It's just not for me anymore. The way the game is, you know, the way the media's changing around it, the way the players are. You know, and again, I'm not saying drop tools and all come down to ERIF Town or go down to ERIF and Belvedere or something like that. But you do get some who are like, I can't be dealing with 400 grand a week prima donnas who you can't say anything to because they'll get the ump. Or, you know, if you criticise them on social media, not horribly, but, you know, they'll report you on social media for having a go at them, you know. And that's why a lot of people go to it. But again, going back to it, we've created a good community. A good community feel to it. I get a lot of good feedback from people who are there. They'll go, oh, I heard the pod, it was really, really good. But it's just, let's be honest, Nick, I'm going to throw this back on you. What's it like editing it sometimes when there's some swearing in the background?
Well, I'm conscious with the era, the Dockers debate, it's a different thing to what we do. Ak Dung Minwal is a, essentially, it's a fanzine, albeit without bits of paper and the printing and all the rest of it. It's a fanzine. There, I can, you know, swearing is part and parcel of it, Michael. I mean, you know, it adds to the humour. It adds to the rich tapestry that is the Den. Anyone that goes to the Den knows exactly what it's like there. So there's little point in me trying to pretend it's the Vicarage Sunday afternoon cucumber sandwich party, you know.
Yeah.
So it's intrinsic. It's part of it. But with what I'm conscious of with Erith Town is you're going to hear the odd word. I mean, it's a football match, so. You know, I do my best to try and cut it because I'm conscious it's a production on behalf of Erith Town FC. It's an official representation of them. So you've got to be careful. Everyone knows that in football you're going to hear the odd, you know, F word and all the rest. I'll try and do what they do with rap video, the music, where they kind of just suddenly dip down and you just take it out, yeah. You know. You can do that on the GarageBand software, and everyone knows what's in that gap in that little moment. But you just take it out. Some might have their view on that, others won't. But I'm just conscious that it's not for me; it's for Erith Town FC.
So basically, what you're saying is like a bit like Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Thankfully, you don't get that much at Erith. I mean, you where you do hear it, I can do it, I will do a Dr. Dre dip. It's not always possible. Sometimes you lose the main comment, so I can't do it. So I don't have a way around that. So sometimes you will hear the odd word, but you know, I also hate the thing you get on television where they apologise constantly for if you've heard any language. You know, we're very, very sorry, but. You know, you're at a football match, you're at a non-league football match, you're at a very friendly club, and yeah, of course you're going to hear the old word, come on, you know, let's be realistic. So, I'll do my best on that front. The thing that makes me laugh is when it's the manager instructing his players, that can be quite funny, because it's quite hard to cut that out.
He's for anyone who knows him, because more people sort of know him than I realise. We were talking to Matt Webb the other day, and he went, I know him, but... You know, like Adam Woodward's a good guy. He is a good guy.
He comes across in bucket loads. Yeah. But just to go back to tomorrow, listeners, I'm putting this out as a preview. It's a pretty short and sharp and unplanned episode. But I wanted to catch hold of Michael whilst I got him, just to do it like a preview. Game kicks off. Is it a 3 o'clock kickoff tomorrow, Michael? Bayliss Avenue?
3 o'clock. 3 o'clock kickoff tomorrow, Bayliss Avenue. So how normally non-league playoffs or scaffold playoffs work is you'll have your finishers. So Deal won the league, and then you'll have Faversham Glebe, Corinthian and Erith, obviously your next four. And in truth, let's not beat around the bush. A lot of people were thinking it was going to be like a sort of Faversham or Glebe who were going to be in the final. So because where they're the higher placed teams. Even though there was only 4 points between the four, so that shows how tight the division's been this year. Because normally with playoffs at any other level, you'll get a team finish third on X amount of points, then the team finish sixth about 18 points behind. You know, and they just sneak in. I think the Championship's a good example. You know, there's a big points gap between Leeds and then like West Brom and
absolutely. And, you know, but the playoffs are a cup competition effectively. So four
and that's ultimately what it is. You know. Yeah, and that's ultimately what it is, because how it works is obviously second play fifth and then third play fourth. But what will happen is instead of having two legs, it's the one leg at the team who finished higher, and then the final will be at the two finalists who ever finished higher. So again, Erith Town have gone into this finishing third out of the four teams in the playoffs. But have ended up hosting the game. That's been an interesting one. But I mean, that place is going to be absolutely rocking tomorrow. I mean, Nick, you were there for the Faversham game, and that wasn't our biggest attendance of the season. But again, that was nearly 200 people. And you've got to be honest with you, Nick, that atmosphere down there, you've heard the podcast and you've edited it and you've been there. When that place is rocking, it is really, really the place to be.
Very nice clubhouse, and there's a small stand associated with the clubhouse. Nice bar, listeners. And as Michael says, a nice tight little ground. It's a nice facility, and it's great to see it being put to proper use, and you know, with a good crowd in there. It's Bayliss Avenue. I'm just looking at the map here. I've just found the match centre for the listeners. Bayliss Avenue, Thamesmead, SE 20. Basically, if you're in the Bexley Heath, Barnhurst, in that zone, Abbey Wood, it's dead easy to get there, Michael. Buses will take you there. I can't remember the bus routes. No, 122, I think, went past the ground. But it's dead easy to get to. If you're in Abbey Wood, you can walk around there. It's give it some support. Paul, I just can't say enough what an enjoyable afternoon it was. If you're looking for some Saturday afternoon football away from you can even watch the Premier League game. It's not now as it's coming to a finish, but you can get in there for the 12:30 match at the bar and watch the main action afterwards at 3 o'clock, and then I dare say catch the evening game afterwards. That's the key for non-league football, isn't it? That keep the money coming in that way.
Yeah,
but no, and tomorrow huge match. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge game, and you know, like we said. Non-league football is an absolute whirlwind. I mean, I've found this sometimes, you know, like we did the grassroots shows a couple of years ago, which I really enjoyed, you know. But it's just amazing how as silly as it sounds, this is what football should be. It's so unpredictable.
Yes.
You know, like, you can call the eight in the quarterfinals of the Champions League pretty much every year. One or two might creep in, but you know they are. The top four of the Premier League, you know, everyone was saying even before pre-season that Arsenal and Man City are going to be up there, and so are Liverpool, and there you're free. You know, Leicester and Ipswich was a bit of a surprise, but I'm going to shout out now. I said right at the beginning of the season that Ipswich would be a team you've got to keep an eye on, and they've ended up getting promoted, you know. Like
they play the game the right way, and that's what people want to watch. We've started playing them. We're veering off topic now a little bit with Millwall, but... You know, we've started to play in the game in a way that will get people in through the gates, and they want to see it. So that's the key to football.
Yeah.
Just going back to Urie, if I may, for a moment, I just want to say to anyone that's not been to this level of football, you will see skill, you will see good players. Of course, there are a level where I'd say, you know, you'll see good moments. You will see moments that aren't, you know, unplanned or, you know, errors and so on, especially as the game drags on. I mean, when I came to watch the Faversham game with you, Michael, a few weeks back, it was a really, really nice, gutty finisher in a way, won it for Faversham, but a beautiful strike. You will see moments of skill. You probably might see, you know, areas where a seasoned eye would say, well, that could be improved there. You want a bit more fitness here. But these are working men, and... As the game stretches, you will start to see moments, you know, where games will be decided. I fully recommend it to anyone that's not been. And if you want to get along there tomorrow, it's pay on the day. £8, did I see, Michael, to get in?
£8 on the day, yeah. Season ticket holders, it's a fiver. And then obviously concessions, £5, and under 16's free. But, you know, but like you just said there about the quality, again, you don't want to big up the other teams too much. But it was like Croydon, like in the cup final or the senior trophies final. I ask anyone to go back and see. I'm not sure if you must have seen it, Nick, on social media, on Twitter. Probably the best goal I've seen this season, any level. Croydon's first goal against Deerith was probably one of the best goals I've seen this season. Any level of football, live in a stadium. Absolute worldie of a finish. And, you know, with when Deerith played away at Faversham, we mentioned it on the most recent pod, but obviously we were there as well. You know, like James Dyer. As there's a ball, so it was dark, it was 93rd minute, ball's absolutely smashed into the air by the goalkeeper. He brings it down and he just absolutely kills it with his first touch. And you think, this is on the pyramid, this is what, eighth, ninth tier of the English pyramid overall?
Yeah.
The fifth tier of non-league football. And he's just done something there, which, let's be honest, a lot of pro players might struggle to do. You know, bring it down, have a touch and bury it in the bottom corner. Yeah, you have some moments where someone will do something and think, what is he doing, you know? Or there'll be other bits and pieces where, you know, you'll be thinking, I don't even know what he's trying to do there. But then you see players at Erith, you know, like, you know, I'll just name them now, you know, like Mackenzie Foley, Tom Ash, JJ, like Rama Howell, James Miles, you know, just to name a few, Harry Taylor, James Dyer. Top players who, like we say, you know, like with Harry Taylor the other day against Glebe, he is your old-fashioned number nine centre-forward who's going out of the game. like the modern game, if you will, in the sense that all these players like to keep on the ground now. Couldn't live with him. Glebe absolutely couldn't live with him. They was a team who for the majority of the season were top of the table, and he has come up and he has absolutely ruined them. You know, he's given that good old-fashioned, traditional, attacking, Paul Moody type performance, if you will. I think Adam Woodward even mentioned on the podcast, he said it was like a Gary Alexander, Matt Smith level type performance where you're just not going to get any change from him at all. Yeah. And, you know, does he have moments where it comes off? Sometimes it doesn't, but these are good full-blooded players. And you know, and going back to it, what I've really enjoyed about this season is they've really embraced like the podcast. You know, they've really embraced the people who listen to the podcast, the people who follow it, you know, and let's not beat around the bush as well. You know, with non-league clubs, there ain't the greatest deal of money. So, you know, any revenue that we got from the podcast, you know, like the club could have easily said, well, no, we want some of that money because, you know, you're getting from our downloads. But no, that is going to charity. That is how it's done. You know, like we're giving to the community. You know, there's a local food banker we want to support. If Nick's giving it to the Millwall show to Lions Food Bank, we want to do the same for Bexley. So, you know, even that kind of thing as well. They're thinking about, even though there's obviously speech marks, a regular-ish revenue coming in, they're happy to give it away. And again, you can't knock them for it.
No, it's fantastic. Do some fantastic. I'm just looking through the website here, Walking Football, the junior football. And as you've said there, sum it up, you know, the revenue we make from the podcast there goes to the Bexley Food Hub to hopefully assist and help people in the borough that are, you know, having a tough time of it. So it's a big game tomorrow. I want to send my best wishes to Adam and the boys in the team. I've been following their progress all season via the podcast. I know a lot of other people have been, Michael. You'll be there tomorrow. You're going to produce your usual coverage of the game tomorrow, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, we'll be there. And you know what? It's, again, talking about how unpredictable it is. You know, I think if Erith didn't beat Corinthian in the Challenge Cup final, or the League Cup final, if you will, Corinthian would go into the game probably favourites because they've done the double over Erith in the home and away games. I mean, it's now infamous. I mean, if you're a listener to the pod and you're a follower of the club, the infamous game where, you know, Erith were 3-0 up with 67 minutes played and ended up losing 4-3. And, you know, when we went away at Corinthians.
I remember that one. Yeah.
Oh, of course, you remember that one. Yeah, we all remember that one. And you know, like, they Corinthians beat Erith 2-1 away at their place. But going into this one, you know, it's absolutely anyone's. And again, this goes into the unpredictability of non-league football. And just to name a few, we were talking about it earlier on at Sporting Club. I was there this morning, obviously coaching my side. But you think Dartford, let's not beat around the bush, Dartford were one of the boys in the sort of Conference South, or National League South. They're now in the IFMIAN division. You know, Beckenham. Yeah. Beckenham's a great little club. You've been down to Beckenham last year. Yeah, I went down there a couple of years ago. You know, I've got some family who've played for Beckenham over the years. They've gone down. They were in a strong position last year. They've gone down. You know, Erith and Belvedere won Scheffel Premier Division at like a little bit of a canter. You know, they were miles in front at one point. They won the league. They've gone back down. Phoenix, a good strong side up to the IFMIAN, barely stayed up. It's a tough
division to stay in. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's ultimately the thing as well, is that going back to it, if whoever wins tomorrow, obviously from our point of view, we hope it's here, but whoever wins from tomorrow, it will probably make pre-season harder in the sense that you've just got to tear up who you're going to play against, because there'll be no point in the nicest way. Let's say, for example, they've got like a tier 6, tier 7 team in mind to play in pre-season just to have a little knockabout, or even tier 5. Tear that up, because you need a real challenge in pre-season. You know,
you've got to take your levels up.
You know, you've got to take your levels up. You know, like with regards to, you know, like the stadium, how many more people could you fit in if you go up a level? Because undoubtedly more people will come along. The standard of your player, does that go up? And again, it's you see and hear the stories where people go like, oh yeah, you know, like we had a list of if we stayed in the Championship or if we went down to League One. You heard that, but I mean, that's tenfold when you're in the non-league, because, you know, getting it right or wrong could absent, as is proof of some teams, not naming names, but, you know, it could absolutely make or break you if you get your pre-season wrong.
Well, Michael, I want to say well done for the show. Huge dollop of good luck, hopefully, tomorrow for the Dockers. And fingers crossed for some success in terms of me tomorrow, mate. I drove your car, and I think I brought it back without crashing it. Here's your keys back. You can resume driving the Dockers debate from here on. Yes, yeah.
and you filled the tank up as well. That's brilliant.
Put some petrol in the tank.
Yeah. But no, just last one quick. Like we say, you know, we're expecting a bumper crowd tomorrow. So if you are coming down tomorrow, it'd be good to see you there. Come say hello and all that kind of thing. If you're not and you're at a loose end, come down, because that place will be absolutely rocking. I can fundamentally guarantee you that. And we'll make sure you get some photos done with some of the players and even the diets. We'll get some bucket hats on them and then we'll get some get them to pose for you.
Fantastic. Up the Dockers.
Up the Dockers indeed.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.